I just wanted to sort of give a little overview of baptism, because I see the one thing about baptism is a lot of people, they know what church tradition says about baptism or whatever, but they don't really know what the scripture says. A lot of people are ignorant of what the Bible teaches, you know, on baptism. And so I thought I just want to share a little bit of that, because everyone's got opinions. You know, a lot of people have got opinions. There are some people who are so strong in their opinions about baptism, they won't speak to the other people who feel differently than they do. And that's sad, because it shouldn't be like that in the body of Christ. And I always say, whenever we wonder about anything, what should we do? Just go to the Bible. See what does the Bible say, and don't read it from the lens of what someone else has been telling you. See what the Bible says for itself. You see, I went through a long time in my own life where I felt that, first of all, personal baptism is a personal thing between me and God. You know, it's something that, you know, no one must talk to me about. It's just something that it's between me and God. And, you know, I'm not going to pressure anyone into being baptized. I still don't want to pressure anyone into anything. But I also thought, you know, I don't need to get baptized, because, you know, I was sprinkled as a baby. I grew up in the Dutch Reformed Church, and I thought, you know, I was baptized. And I didn't realize, you know, what baptism is about. I didn't understand the whole significance of it. And so I just wanted to share you, because now, today I'm standing here, and I'm actually a pastor. And now I've got a responsibility. I'm not no longer just a friend that, you know, I don't want to offend you or whatever. I'm a pastor that's got a responsibility to tell you what the Bible teaches about baptism. And so I just want to look at a couple of things. Right through the book of Acts, if you look in the scriptures, the New Testament, right through the book of Acts, you see a lot of people, as soon as they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they get baptized. That's sort of the next step. They believe, they repent from their sin, they turn to the Lord, and they get baptized the next moment. And so Acts 2:41 is a good verse for that. It says, and then those who gladly received his word were baptized. You see, these guys were so glad to receive the word, and then they got baptized, because baptism is an exciting thing. Secondly, the New Testament frequently refers to the practice of baptism, and it's always, without exception, after conversion. Every time the New Testament speaks about a baptism event, it's after someone got saved. It's never before they got saved. And so that is very important for us to understand. You see, Peter was very clear when he gave his famous Pentecostal sermon, Acts 2:38. He said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So Peter understood this. He knew this was a necessary thing. Repent, turn to the Lord, and as soon as you've done that, you know, get baptized, because that's what the Lord wants. He wants to plug you into the body of Christ. He wants to, you know, fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's something that he wants to do. And you know, baptism is a way that he often chooses to do that, not always. The New Testament is also very clear that baptism is always by immersion. You'll never see, you know, sort of sprinkling or christening or that kind of thing anywhere in the Bible. There's no reference of that. Every time it's by immersion. The word baptizo in the Greek actually means to put under the water, to immerse in under the water. That's what the word itself means. And so that's the way it happens every time in water. And so, you know, we ask about the symbolism. What is the symbolism? Because a lot of people are confused about the symbolism. A lot of people think it's sort of like what happens now. The old days, they used to get circumcised. Now we get baptized. No, it's not the same thing that it was transferred to the church now. The symbolism, we as believers, you see, we identify ourselves with Christ when we are buried in that watery grave. The same way that Christ, we just read last week about how he was crucified on the cross, how he went to the grave. And today we're going to be talking about the resurrection. And just as Christ rose up from the dead, in the same way, we do the symbolic, we bury our old selves in that water there, and we get up into the new life symbolically. And then every time the enemy comes and attacks you or whatever, you can just say, "Hey, buddy, the old man is lying in that water there. I left him there." That's the symbol. That was the declaration that my old life is finished. I've risen with Christ into a new life. That's the whole symbolism of it, the symbol of Christ's burial and resurrection. Romans 6, verse 3 to 4 says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." You see, it's just a public display for us as Christians of what we do to show that we've been saved. It's a testimony to the witnesses around us, but I will say it's much more than that. I believe it's a testimony to the spiritual realm out there. That day that you get baptized, you say, like, "Listen, you don't have any hold on me. Like I said, there is the old man buried. I've stood up, and it's one of those things that you can hold on to, which is really comforting when you are going through trials and that kind of thing. That public display of our association with the work of Christ. And, you know, baptism isn't something that Christians do just because we like it. That's not the reason why we do it. The two main reasons why we get baptized is, first of all, Jesus Christ commanded it in Matthew 28. We're going to look at it today. And I tell you, especially after I prepared for the study for today, there's no ways that I can teach Matthew 28 and not tell you that you have to get baptized after you've been saved. It's really, really important. And the second reason is Jesus Christ himself was baptized for our example. Just think about it. Christ didn't need to get baptized. And if Jesus chose to go through baptism for our example, how much more should we just be obedient to that word that he said? Because he didn't need to get baptized himself. And so I think it's oftentimes what keeps Christians. We are saved, you know, we want to serve the Lord, but sometimes there's always just something lacking. It keeps you from growing, it keeps you from maturing sometimes, just not taking that step of obedience to say, I'm just going to do what Christ commanded me, because oftentimes what I find is when people get baptized, we even see examples in the scriptures of people being baptized quite a long time after they were saved. You remember the disciples of John, they were baptized, they were only had the baptism of repentance, and so they repented, but then they got baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they received the Holy Spirit. Something changed in their life. It was really great. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and I think oftentimes a lot of Christians, they love the Lord. They are saved, because, you know, it's not baptism that saves you. Very importantly, baptism is just a symbol of what has happened, of the transaction that has taken place. But oftentimes, it's just like not a fullness in a person's life. And I find oftentimes just because they just don't take that step of obedience. And so lastly, you know, I have to tell this, unfortunately, but if you were sprinkled as a baby, that is great. But that is not baptism. That is dedication. That was your parents saying, Lord, we dedicate our child to you. There's no way your parents can decide for you, you see, what you want to do in your life. 1 Peter 3:21 clearly says baptism is an answer of a clear conscience towards God. You see, you need first to have a conscience, to have a thinking mind before you can actually be baptized, because it is an answer of a conscience. A little baby can't answer for his conscience. He hasn't made a decision yet. And so it was a great thing that was instituted, but it is not baptism. I just wanted to tell you that. And the only way that you can really answer with a good conscience is when you think for yourself. And so, you know, today, as your pastor, I lovingly want to exhort you and tell you that if you are saved, you need to get baptized. It's important. I really believe it's important. It's what the Bible teaches. It's necessary, I think, for life and godliness. The most important is what Christ commanded. So I hope that sort of clears up some of the stuff. We'll go through a little bit more in Matthew 28, but that should just clear up everything.